do have 1 Corinthians 7 open on page 1148, 1149. And shall we pray for God's help? A debt of love owed by thankful hearts. Almighty God, we pray first and foremost this evening that we would see just what you have done for us and the love that you have shown us, so that we want to respond in gratitude to you. And please, in a long and complex chapter, please speak clearly to us this evening that we might know what living lives of gratitude looks like. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, surprise, we're back in 1 Corinthians 7 this evening, and surprise, the topic is sex, marriage, and singleness. Perhaps you weren't expecting that this evening. Well, I don't want you to be embarrassed, because what we really want to do is just hear what God is saying to us, and God is not embarrassed to address us on these topics here this evening. Paul was writing to Corinth, and frankly, there was lots of sexual immorality. Married people were having sex outside of marriage, or husband and wife weren't having sex with each other. Unmarrieds were having sex outside of the commitments of marriage. It all needed sorting out. And we saw, when I spoke on the first half of this passage, well over a month ago, Paul wrote to the Corinthians to prize sex. Now, if you were here for that sermon, you probably don't remember it. If you weren't here for that sermon, you definitely don't remember it. So I've given you an outline of that sermon on the green sheet that I hope you were handed as you came in this evening. It might be helpful just to turn to that, and particularly if you weren't here. Let's just look at that passage, that sheet, where it says 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 24, very briefly, just to blow away the cobwebs or remind ourselves of what we saw. That Paul was saying to the Corinthians, sex is God's good glue. It's a great gift. It's a wonderful gift to be enjoyed in the right place, gluing a husband and a wife together. And so there were three kind of points that we traced through. He said to married people, give yourselves to each other. And you see these on the sheet. To unmarried, stop giving yourselves to each other. And thirdly, once married, stay married. And we ended up that sermon well over a month ago saying, well, the way we do this, the way we prize sex properly as God's good glue, is by prizing Jesus, by making him our top priority. I would hate it if you left the building this evening thinking you'd been given a whole load of rules to follow, because that is not the heart of the Christian faith. Being a Christian is first and foremost about who we follow, the Lord Jesus. Not firstly about our behavior and how well we do, but first and foremost about our hearts, whether we're following Jesus or our own impulses, whether those impulses are sexual or otherwise. And if you're here tonight and you're still a little unclear about what the Christian message is, then Paul says it in verse 23. Look down on page 1149 in the Bible. He says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. You see, anyone without Jesus in this world, if you're not following him, you are your own master. And you might think that's good news. But the problem is, when we are masters of ourselves, we willingly indulge ourselves in what we want. Ultimately, we push God away in pursuit of pleasing me. And actually, the Bible tells us that self-mastery is slavery to myself. And that will actually end up in destruction and ruin of one kind or another. God has not designed us to be masters of ourselves. But the solution is not to follow different rules. It's not that we just open the Bible, follow different rules, and all is better. No, the solution is being bought at a price, being picked up from being a slave to myself and plonked down freed, bought at a price by the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives all our sin, even in this complex and tricky area of sexual immorality. He forgives our sin. So please don't just sit here tonight thinking I'm giving you a load of rules. I want you to know, particularly if this is unfamiliar, Jesus offers to purchase you forgiveness from sin, being bought at a price, freedom from slavery to self. And he promises you a great new life. Will you trust him? So once we know him as our Savior, buying at a sort of price, he does give us direction. Not rules to follow to win our salvation, but the way of life God made us for. So that is all kind of by way of recap and introduction. Where Paul gets to tonight with the Christians is he says, well, he's still saying you've got to get your sex lives in order. But that doesn't guarantee to get your hearts in order. What Paul most wants, what God most wants, what I most want for us this evening is to have our hearts in order before the Lord God. Let me put it another way. Do you see what Paul says in verse 32? This is the heart of the passage. Go with me for the moment. I would like you to be free from concern. Tonight, God wants you to be free from concern, particularly in this area of marriage and singleness. Jesus offers that to all of us. And that's true, isn't it? Even if our sex lives are in order, our minds, our heads, our hearts can be filled up with concerns. Perhaps you're single here tonight. You might still be young or in danger of really wanting a boyfriend or girlfriend as if your life depended upon it. Or on the other hand, are you in danger of thinking that you're young enough just not to take marriage seriously at all? It's not worth thinking about. Perhaps you're single and longing for Mr. or Mrs. Right just to pop up into your life. Or you're concerned that you're too old for all that to happen. Perhaps you're fed up with people asking questions, and sadly this still happens in churches, people asking, how are you going to find someone special? Or perhaps you're here married tonight and you're finding that your concerns are different. The worries of family life, the in-laws getting meals on the table, earning enough money, having any time with your spouse, being part of the church means, Jesus, this doesn't get a look in. Paul says to all of us, married or single, I want you to be free from concern. Now, I don't know this evening just what your concerns are or how low you have been as you have considered this area of being single or married. If it's not an issue for you, that's great, but I'm sure many of us will have experienced significant lows. What concerns distract us from Jesus? Well, one of those concerns, it must surround identity. Do you think about marital status as being foundational to who you are? It's so easy to be single, and particularly in your sort of 20s or 30s, and you're just wrapped up in wanting to be married. Paul wants to say, make sure your marital status isn't your identity. Make sure Jesus is your identity. And another concern for the Corinthians was sort of this sort of hypersensitive, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Right now, today, am I doing the right thing in getting married or in staying single? Some people in Corinth were teaching that being single was far more godly than marriage. And we get wrapped up thinking, we should have stayed single, or why am I still single, or should I still be single? And wondering, perhaps what I am today, single or married, perhaps God is punishing me for something I've done in the past. Paul says, no, I want you to be free from concern. Jesus frees us from worrying about right and wrong. So there's a lot of verses in the passage we've read. I just want to draw out a couple of key principles that we see. And the big thing for all of us to see, whether we're single or married, to be free from concern, is to devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Let's look down and see verse 29. Do you see what Paul says here? What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they didn't. Those who are happy as if they weren't. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. How bizarre that in a chapter on marriage, he suddenly says marriage should live as if they're not married. He's not saying let's be promiscuous. No, do you see the point? Mourners shouldn't be mourning. Happy people shouldn't be happy, because everything right now is temporary. It's passing away. Sorry, that was quite loud. Just like a breath, it's gone. This life is temporary, passing. And so where do we focus? Verse 35, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What's your number one priority as you think about the area of singleness and marriage? Be devoted to the Lord Jesus. What's the one thing that each of us needs to be? Devoted to the one who's freed us. The whole point is that this world is temporary and passing. Even marriage is. Jesus made it quite clear. There's only one marriage in heaven, and it is between Jesus himself, the great bridegroom, and his church, his bride made up of all of those who have followed and trusted him in this world. That's quite a picture, isn't it? Jesus being the spouse of every Christian believer. And friends, the time is short, is what Paul is saying. The new creation is coming when we will see Jesus face to face as our groom, and true fulfillment and joy and contentment will be known there. The time is short, says Paul. Now, if you're a pessimist here this evening, of course, you're thinking, well, actually, it's been 2,000 years since Paul wrote these words, so obviously the time isn't short. To which I might say, well, it's 2,000 years shorter than it was when Paul wrote those words. The time is really short. The point is, Jesus might return tonight. Are you longing for it? Are you devoted to him? Are you grateful that he's bought you at a price and he has for you a life that is a gift to live? Are you hoping, are you living today hoping to see Jesus more than anything or anyone else in your life? Marshall Siegel is an American who wrote a book called Not Yet Married, and he puts it a little bit like this. As Christians, we are the happy, hope-filled, and strange people who look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. But there's just so much to see in this world. Another movie, another football game, another fashion trend, another app. All the cares, riches, and pleasures make it easy to forget the unseen and to settle for far less. The things that distract us are not necessarily bad in themselves. If God is our treasure, his glory, our mission, and his word our guide, we can enjoy all his gifts to the full. But the gifts become destructive when they distract us from him. We take things God has given us to point us to him, and we try to make them hold the living water only he can carry for us. We turn gifts into gods. And as the world watches our life, how we spend our free time, what we talk about, where we spend our money, they will know where our heart lives. God will too. Friends, our marital status can be a massive distraction from living for Jesus. For single people, the hope or search for a spouse can suck up so much time and emotional energy, or both, that there's no time left for praying or for seeking people out to encourage them to follow the Lord Jesus. For married people, we can so easily slip into marriage maintenance mode, that life becomes about making the spouse happy or keeping on top of household chores. And Jesus doesn't get a look in. Which is why I look back to my wedding day very gratefully to our vicar, who said to me and my wife Abby, "As of today, you are on permanent loan to each other for this life only. Just on loan until you're home with Jesus. Make sure you keep your eyes fixed on him." You see, the intimacy that we might all hope for in marriage, the security we hope it will give, the love we long for, is what Jesus offers when we see him face to face. So whether you're married or single this evening, God is saying to everyone here, if you know you've been bought at a price by Jesus, are you devoted to him? Are you listening to his guidance in the Bible? Are you sharing honestly with him your joys and hopes, your struggles, your dreams? Is it your endeavor to love Jesus and point others towards him? Do you schedule your week, your month, your year around serving Jesus or indulging yourself? If you're single, has the hope to be married become bigger to you than Jesus? If you're married, are you distracting your spouse from Jesus or helping them know him? Devotion is spending time enjoying Jesus, spending time with his people, the church family, pointing one another to him. If you are a Christian, you've been bought at a price, and that price was Jesus's life. And so he says, are you devoted to me? The most important thing is that we devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus. But Paul wants to be a bit more practical as well. In this half of the chapter, it's clear from verse 25 that he's speaking to virgins. What he means is single people with their sex lives in order. And there are two brief words specifically for singles tonight. What does devotion look like for the single person? And because what's here is countercultural, we're not about to give a relationship advice on how to find a spouse, because that's not Paul's point. Firstly, he says this: neither singleness nor marriage is more godly. That might be a surprise. Neither singleness nor marriage is more godly. You see, when we think about marriage, we tend to think one is like better, sorry, marriage and singleness, we tend to think one is better than the other, don't we? And perhaps the minority of people think, hey, do you know what? Singleness is better. In Corinth, that was precisely the danger. Betrothed or newly married couples were encouraged to stay single or celibate to honor God properly. And see what Paul says about that. Verse 25. Now, about virgins, I've got no command from the Lord Jesus, but I give a judgment as one who's by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Don't seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Do you see what he says? He says in Corinth, remain as you are. You're best off devoting yourself to Jesus right where you are. So there's a word here for people who are already in committed relationships, whether married or well on the way to being married. Would you try to wiggle out of your commitment for the reason that you think it's more godly to be single as a Christian? Or perhaps you're looking for an excuse not to keep commitments you've made. There might occasionally be reasons to end relationships before they get to marriage, but not because it's supposedly more godly just to be single, full stop. The person who uses that kind of excuse may well be the kind of person who's running away from commitment, when they need to see God has committed himself to us, and that enables us to be committed to others. It's possible to overvalue singleness, and Paul says, nuh-uh. Remain where you are, especially if you're already married. But perhaps our danger today is to undervalue singleness. Surely that's the bigger issue. Paul was writing to people where marriage was the norm, as it is today. For many people, they'll spend part of their lives married. And marriage meant status. I was speaking to the missionary Paula we support a few weeks ago when she was visiting us, and she said that despite being a fully grown adult in the country where she is serving as a Christian missionary, she's not viewed as a mature woman because she's not married. Marriage means status. And married people do this all the time. We give the impression to single friends that what they most need is to be married. Shame on us. And if we're parents of single people, particularly grown-up single children, is our hope most for them to be married? Or most for them to know the Lord Jesus? It should be the latter. We all need to hear this countercultural message. Singleness is a gift from God. In his eyes, neither marriage nor singleness is more godly. Marriage and singleness are gifts from God. That's what he says in verse 7. Each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. After all, Jesus and Paul were single, and it was a shock to Corinth, and it may well be a shock now. God values the singles amongst us just as much as the marrieds. And if we speak or think of singleness as anything other than a gift from God, then we undervalue it. If you're single here tonight, will you thank God for your gift today? If that is hard for you tonight, will you ask Jesus to help you thank him for the gift of singleness? Will we be a people who get devoted to him more than devotion to the idea of being married? Because marriage and singleness are both gifts from God. So what is the second thing that Paul says to singleness, singles? Well, and for all of us to hear, he says, but singleness does not divide your devotion. Let's be honest, did you hear it in the passage? Paul goes as far as saying, singleness is better. He says in verse 7, I wish all people were as I am. He says in verse 27, are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. And then in verse 38, he who marries the virgin does right. He who does not marry her does even better. How can he say, on one hand, both gifts are equal gifts from God, and on the other, singleness is better? Well, I think we have to see that what he's doing here is he's saying, in God's eyes, both are gifts. But in Paul's eyes, from his experience, singleness made his life a lot better because it enabled straightforward devotion to Jesus. You see, singleness does not divide your devotion. See what he says in verse 32? I'd like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Singleness does not divide your devotion. Now, it may not feel like that if you're a single here this evening. You may find it really hard to be devoted to Jesus. You may be so busy that actually you're thinking, actually, I'm pretty divided here too. But Paul is just pointing out the simple truth that the single person doesn't feel before God the great responsibility of the spiritual well-being of their spouse and their children. Not to mention the diary commitments that entails. So catching up with your spouse and actually having to put that in the diary and intentionally showing them affection when you're tired and changing nappies if you've got young children and the early wake-ups and the school run and the parents' evenings and the ferrying children around. Singles don't have that. While people who get married are to be devoted to Jesus, just as singles are, what happened on your wedding day if you've had one? You said, "I do," to distractions from Jesus. That's Paul's point. Now, that's not a problem in God's eyes. It's just a straightforward truth. Singleness does not divide your devotion. In one way, being married makes your devotion much harder. So if you're single here tonight, will you believe that? Will you use the gift of singleness, whether it lasts another year or a lifetime? Look, I know that we're speaking into complex issues here this evening. I do not have the life experience of everyone here. And particularly if you're single here tonight, it can be really painful for whatever reason. Perhaps you feel you've been left on the shelf, or it's painful to watch friends getting married and having children. And the devil would have you think that these things rob you of your identity and make you useless for Jesus. But God sees it another way. A single has time and space to devote themselves to God in a way that marrieds don't. And we need to make sure that's a reality in our church family, because in every church family, there's going to be an imbalance. People either bigging up singleness, but more often bigging up marriage. So I could tell you of the missionary Paul I mentioned earlier, or Nikki Maxwell, who's gone out on mission, who serve the Lord wholeheartedly as singles. I could give you a long list of people who've been single and wholeheartedly serve the Lord across the world. But we don't want singleness to mean, farewell, bye-bye, we'll send you miles away to serve the Lord. No, Paul says we want singles and marrieds in the church family here at St. Andrew's, serving the Lord together. And I want to tell you, instead of a friend who's in a local church in the UK who works 4 days a week, specifically to have another day alongside her weekends to give to the Lord. She's been involved in the youth work in her church as a volunteer for about 20 years. She lives two doors down the road from her family, who are also part of the same church, and they're basically her family. One of the children is her godsons. She'll eat with them once or twice in the week and help with bath time. And then at church, she's had a chance to be on the church council, overseen a huge building project at her church. She's been an overall leader on a Christian summer camp. She's been on mission trips to teach people the Bible. She's a godmother several times over. She's rented rooms out to friends and done her job well, faithfully pointing others to Jesus all along. Just recently, she moved in to a friend's house while the parents went away on a weekend together so that she could look after their 5 children. Single-handedly. Now, I'm not sure she intended to be single, and she is young enough still to marry. But in these years of singleness, she has devoted herself to the Lord Jesus. And that should be possible in every local church, and it should be celebrated where we see it. Singles should not feel like they are on the shelf. Singles should not be pushed away into the shadows. We should together be the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if married couples believe that word, then we'll invite singles round. If you're married here this evening, how often do you spend time with the singles in our church family? You see, seeing a single friend on fire for Jesus is such an encouragement, but in too many churches, marrieds only chat with marrieds, so they can both unhelpfully share stories about being tired because the kids woke up early, rather than being encouraged by the single person who's on fire for Jesus over there. Singleness does not divide devotion. Will we make our church family a place for marrieds and singles to be devoted to Jesus? And if you're younger here this evening, at school or early in the stage of life, do you see that your single days, even whilst you're young, are a gift from God, to trust Jesus, to be a friend to others, to point them to him. You see, singleness does not divide devotion. Well, we need to draw all of this together. There are still questions that we can ask. I'm sure you'll have questions, and I'm happy to try to speak to you about them this evening if you've got a specific question you want to ask. But do you see the most important thing Paul has for us in 1 Corinthians 7? Be devoted to the one who's bought you at a price. We're all to devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus. But if it's okay to marry, and some singles will marry, how do we devote ourselves to Jesus and be open to marriage without trying to chase it? Well, I think the answer is this. Just devote yourself to Jesus and be open to your gift changing. And that is true for marriage as well, isn't it? I know too many Christian families where one spouse has died very young and left another spouse with young children, not expecting a life of singleness. Friends, we are to be family to one another, not just to focus on the spouse that we have or the spouse that we do not. We need to be friends, and such good friends to one another, that we are able to support one another with our gift today and our gift tomorrow, whether it's the same gift or a different one. And singles, as they spend time being friends with other singles and with marrieds, may feel it is right to marry, and it's a particular onus, responsibility on the blokes amongst us to be clear with the women amongst us where we see our relationship standing. Friends, tonight, if you are single, don't assume you'll be single forever, but receive the gift you have today from Jesus and ask for his help to be devoted to him. Married, if you're here tonight, don't assume the gift you have will be the same gift you have tomorrow. And do all you can to devote yourselves to the Lord Jesus. Friends, as we commit ourselves to him, let's trust that he will give us contentment and joy to receive the gift that he has for us today. Let's be devoted to him, the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Almighty Jesus, we praise and thank you for buying us at a price. And we ask that we would cherish both the gifts of marriage and singleness, and that you would help us as a family to encourage one another to be devoted to you for your glory. Amen.